Michelle left the Parshas Hamon. That may be a good time to talk a little bit about the balance that what we try to strike in our lives between the Tochen and the Shabbos. In the Midbar, so it was a different type of balance, obviously, than we have today, subsisting off Mon, which on the one hand, one couldn't make any Hishtablos to bring it down, one couldn't keep it overnight. A different type of set of circumstances than the one we deal with in our daily lives. But where's the line between Betochen and Hishtablos? How should Betochen express itself in a way that's consistent with the Chiyuv to do Hishtablos, to take initiative, to invest effort? The question is tricky because the definition of Hishtablos is that it has to make sense, Opidah HaTava, meaning that if I have to make Hishtablos for Ona Parnasa, I can't just buy a lottery ticket for the Powerball lottery where the odds are 1 in 300 million of winning the lottery. That's not a realistic Hishtablos. And for that reason, one of the primary, maybe even the primary aspect in balancing Hishtablos and Betochen is the question of attitude. It's not always so much what a person does, as much as it is the attitude with which he does it. Without Betochen, so a person has the sense that he's basically in control, and that he has to take responsibility, because he's in control. So it's going to be my resourcefulness that's going to, and my effort, which is going to determine whether I have parnasa, how much parnasa I have. It's going to be my, again, my resourcefulness, my effort, how healthy I am, how healthy a lifestyle I do or don't live, etc. The attitude basically is an attitude of kochi ve'otzem yadi. It's an attitude that sees not just a correlation, but a cause and effect between what a person does and the results that are yielded through those efforts. Right? The relationship that a person sees, if there isn't a Tochen, if there's a secular mindset, is a relationship of cause and effect. When one views what he does, the initiative that the Torah wants us to take, as Hishtablos, as effort, mandated effort, exertion, but it's combined by, it's framed by Betochen, so then there isn't a cause and effect necessarily. Well, not a full cause and effect in the sense that one's Hishtablos may be a necessary cause, but it's not a sufficient cause. It's necessary because the Torah says that we're not supposed to sit back passively, and once we left the Midbar, we're not supposed to sit back passively and expect to find the one on our doorstep. And again, we're not only talking about Parnasa, right? We're just using that as an illustration for Hishtablos, and again, in so many other areas, like health, etc. We're not talking exclusively about that, but it's a good and helpful illustration. So we are supposed to invest effort, and it is a necessary cause in that sense. If a person doesn't invest any effort, so then the Torah says, "Uveirachticha b'chol asher ta'aseh." So traditionally, that's understood to express a person has to do, and then when a person does, so then that provides a base kibbutz. It provides a receptacle, like Hashem's bracha. But it's not ve'afticha b'chol asher teishev im yadayim chalukos. If a person is just sitting with his hands like this, so then when he could be making efforts, so then bracha doesn't ensue. But there's no sense of, again, that what a person does is sufficient cause. There's complete understanding that we make effort. Whether or not the effort is going to be successful is totally bidei shamayim. Kol mezonosav shel adam ktsuvim. On Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur, HaKadosh Baruch Hu decides how much parnasa everyone's going to have. It's conditional on our making effort, but whether or not the effort succeeds, to what degree it succeeds, so all that is bidei shamayim. And again, that's not something often you won't be able to discern a practical nafkemina, but it's the nafkemina attitudinally is like day and night. Whether a person recognizes his absolute dependence upon HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and therefore, yes, I'm doing my best, but I realize what if anything that will yield is 100% bidei shamayim. My effort is a necessary cause, but in no way is it sufficient. Everything is bidei shamayim in terms of what results will ensue. So that's perhaps the most important and most dramatic part of the balance between bitachon and hashtadlus is attitude. Is the attitude to what you do. You can have two people who are on the same subway train going down to the same midtown office, and one's doing it with a sense of kochi lotzim yadi, and one's doing it with a sense of I'm making hishtadlus, and I'm mispalel that HaKadosh Baruch Hu should crown my efforts with success, and that I'm mispalel that HaKadosh Baruch Hu should allow my efforts to serve as the conduit for his bracha. Hashem yirel alevav. We could see these two strap hangers and not be able to necessarily discern the difference. There are though also practical applications and ramifications of the fact that we view what we do as hishtadlus combined with bitachon, as opposed to a sense of I'm in control and I've got to make it happen. The Mishnah Berurah quotes a Yerushalmi. There's a siman in Shulchan Aruch. It's in the second line of Mishnah Berurah. It's around Kuf Nun Hei, somewhere around there. Very, very short siman, where it says that a person should have a kviyas in the morning. He should daven, and then he should learn, and only then should he go out to work. He should try not to have to run from davening directly to work. Person should learn. Excuse me. A person should daven, learn, and then begin his work day. There's Yerushalmi, I think the Mishnah Berurah says it's Yerushalmi in the Sota. And that should be a person's kviyas iker. Just to backtrack a minute to provide the background to this Yerushalmi. The mitzvah of Talmud Torah is not only that a person should learn daily, rather it's that, but also that a person should have set times that are put aside, that are consecrated for learning. Meaning not only that every day I'll look at my calendar and I'll try. Okay, so today I don't have any meetings from 10:30 to 11:30, so I'll learn then. And tomorrow it's going to be a busy day, so I'll learn from 7 to 8. Now a person is supposed to have a kviyas iker, not just that I'll look to squeeze it in somewhere every day. A person is supposed to have set times. Now, it is legitimate. A person could have his set times on Monday and Wednesday be 7 to 8, and Tuesday and Thursday it might be 8 to 9. But it's not supposed to be just that over the course of the day, you know, I'll find time. A person is supposed to have a kviyas iker. Obviously, then whatever additional time a person can find, so a person looks to add to the kviyas iker. But there should be a kviyas iker both in the day and at night. Now, so let's say, back to the context of the Yerushalmi. So let's say, the Yerushalmi gives the following example. that a person had his kriya sipur. Let's say for argument's sake, he davens at the 6:30 minion, he's finished davening by 7:15. He learns till 8:15. Then he grabs a bite and goes to work. And he hears someone at 7:45. Someone tells them, if you come right now to a meeting, you might be able to sign up a big client. But he can only meet you right now. He can only meet you right now. He's willing to meet you right now for a breakfast meeting at 7:45 in the morning. That's the Yerushalmi tells him, Maisa Shahoya. And Yerushalmi says, this illustrates who's a Baal Amona, who's the person who has a Amona Ubitalkon. So Yerushalmi says that the reaction of this person, and the Yerushalmi is clearly endorsing it, telling us that this is the right reaction, is that if it's Bashert, then I'm supposed to have this income, so HaKadosh Baruch Hu will make it happen not during my Kriya Sittim. But my Kriya Sittim, I learn every morning. I finish davening at 7:15. I learn whatever it is. I learn Chumash, I learn Mishnah, I learn Halach, I learn Gemara, whatever it is. Ein Yaakov, whatever it is, I learn from 7:15 to 8:15. That time is sacred. That time is sacrosanct. And here, a person can't sit 24/7 in his rocking chair and say, well, if it's Bashat, then I'll have Panasa, Kodesh Baruch Hu will give it to me. That's what we just spoke about. But during a person's Kriya Sittim, he is supposed to say that. During the Kriya Sittim, that's what the Mishnah Berurah quotes in Yerushalmi and Sota. So then our reaction is supposed to be, no, I'm sorry, I can't make the breakfast meeting. I'm happy to meet him some other time. If he can't make it some other time, so be it. Thank you for the lead, but I can't meet from 7:15 to 8:15. One practical application of the fact that, again, we view our mandated efforts as hishtadlus, as opposed to we're in control, as we view our efforts as necessary, but not necessary and sufficient. There's another one also. The Chumash HaLevavos in Shaar HaBitachon tells the following story. Presumably it's a factual story. He said that there was a chassid echad who was engaged in, sounds like some heathen in a conversation. And the heathen says to this chassid echad, he says, so what do you believe? He had his whole polytheistic scheme, whatever. She says, what do you believe? She says, no, I believe in Hashem Elokeinu, Hashem Echad, who's Borei Shemayim Va'aretz, who's Kol Yochol, who's Almighty, who's Mashkiach Al HaKol, who exercises the divine providence over everything. So then this heathen pushes back and says, well, that's a very nice drasha, but your lifestyle contradicts it. So the chassid says, what do you mean? He says, well, your lifestyle is that you're involved in, I guess, in today's business, we would call it import-export. That you travel overseas, you go over long ocean voyages to get merchandise, and then you bring the merchandise back and you sell it. So in medieval times, so that was a perilous way to earn a living. So many people died in ocean voyages, right? The Rambam's younger brother, famously, his brother to whom he was so attached and who supported the Rambam, died in that fashion. So he says, if you believe in an almighty Ribono Shel Olam, so what you think that he can't find a way to give you panosa without you risking your life to try to earn the panosa? And the Chavos HaVam is right, that the Chassid Kabel Sainas Mishamara, that he accepted that rebuke and changed and discontinued that business and started finding panosa locally. So obviously that story sort of needs to be plugged into the modern Mitzvah. I don't think anyone would say that you can't take an overseas flight as part of a business trip today. But that's the code, not the contemporary application of the code of Salvados. But the principle is certainly one, again, when plugged into our Metzius, which remains very relevant. Let's say a person is looking for a job. So he's sending out the resumes for applying for different positions. So in the job listings that he hears of or he's contacted by a headhunter, so there are some positions which are in communities where there's no firm infrastructure. Not hardly any Jews, zero firm infrastructure. If you go out there's no chinuch for children, a woman has to travel 8 hours to get to the mikveh, v'chulu, v'chulu. There isn't a proper shul to daven in, etc. So that would be a type of analog to what Rabbeinu Bachi is telling us in the Chovos Avodos. If I believe, that I've got my efforts unilaterally, single-handedly determine whether I'll have panasa, I don't know. So then, when you're fishing, you got to throw as many lines into the water as possible, and where you get a bite, that's the one that you haul in. If a person believes Baruch Hu wants us to make the shtablos, that's why Baruch Hu wants the world to make. But he's the one who's going to send the parnasa. So I can't believe that HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants me. Again, obviously it's a different discussion when a person goes out for reasons of kiruv, etc. That's a different shmooze entirely. But just if it would be for purposes of parnasa, I can't believe HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants me to go out there with his mamish no Torah infrastructure, mamish no Torah community, such a midbar for parnasa. It's like the chassid was told, you believe in an almighty Rebbeinu Shalom, do you really believe he wants you to resort to that in your effort to make a living? So that would be another, again, concrete way in which the sort of the secular path of Kofi Lotzim Yodi and the religious path of Betochen combined with the Shtablos combined with Betochen diverge. Maybe one other practical nafkamina. Sometimes a person can be weighing, let's say, sometimes a person can be weighing, that there are two, could be that there are more examples than this, but two that come easily and quickly to mind. Let's say a person is weighing whether they're going to chinuch. Well, let's say a person is weighing whether to remain in Chutz La'aretz or to live in Eretz Yisrael. Okay, so he's thinking about chinuch, so he gets some information. So he finds out, they tell him what the average salary of the mechanech is, and then they tell him sort of how much money you need to live on, and the figures don't quite tell it. You crunch the figures this way, that way. Doesn't quite add up. Or, let's say you can have the same thing when a person is contemplating going to Eretz Yisrael. Eretz Yisrael also is this tremendous Mesiras Nefesh. There too, a person sort of finds out, okay, well, tell me how much money do you need to live, and then tell me what the salary base is. And sometimes there's a shortfall. So obviously, again, one is not totally waiving and dispensing with practicality, because that's what the Shabbos means, that there has to be practicality. But a person should, he's going to have a salary base in chinuch, but he can't quite cross all the T's and dot all the I's as to how it's going to, that shortfall is going to be met, how that gap is going to be closed. A person's going to have a salary base in Eretz Yisrael, but again, he can't quite cross the T's, dot the I's, that there's a gap there. So there, again, that's a difference between whether or not what we're doing is hishtablus, whether it's betochen, But whether or not a person is not, I'm in control. I have to make things happen. Harvish lucham lamakom. Harvish lucham lamakom. L'maisa on paper, it's hard to see how it works, but in reality it does work. In reality, there are people in chinuch, and in reality, there are people living in Eretz Yisrael. And if either or both of those are the right option for you, you shouldn't, chas v'shalom, be deterred by a balance sheet. It will work. How does it work? I don't know. How does shluchim v'mokom? How does shluchim v'mokom? Maybe someone in chinuch. Again, not that you have to know this. Not that you have to create your package. Maybe someone chinuch does tutoring on the side. Maybe he has a summer job in a camp that gives him free camp for all his kids, and because of that, it knocks off significant expenses that other people have. There's so many different packages and combinations that a Kadosh Baruch Hu creates. A person doesn't even have to know necessarily what his is going to be. Maybe he's going to meet a woman who wants to work at least part time and with the supplement of her salary, it's going to work. You shouldn't marry for money. You shouldn't choose who to marry based on that. But Harvesh lochem lamakom. So again, just to review what we've talked about until now, the difference again between a secular mindset of kochi va'otzem yodi in taking human initiative and the religious mindset of chiyuv hishtadlus in taking initiative. So there's always a difference in attitude, and that difference in attitude is absolutely critical. Absolutely critical. A person should recognize it's not kochi va'otzem yodi. I'm dependent upon a Kadosh Baruch Hu, even to be able to make the hishtadlus. Allah is kama v'kama for whether or not the hishtadlus is going to be safe. You know, it can become an isayim. That sense of that one's trust should be in HaKadosh Baruch Hu can become a nisayin. There is the Gemara in the first part of the Tainus. The Gemara says that Ein HaBracha Metsuya Ela B'dova HaSomoy Min HaAyin. That bracha is only to be found in what's hidden from the eye, right? Somoy Lashon Asuma Achman Atzlan, a blind person. So Ein HaBracha Metsuya Ela B'dova HaSomoy Min HaAyin. And the Gemara talks about that if a person goes out to his field and has yet to calculate how much has been yielded, so you can still daven that it should be a successful crop. But as soon as you have everything piled up and you know how many bushels you have, you can't daven. Because what does that mean? It means that when a person doesn't know exactly what he has, so then a person, again, has this sense of vulnerability and dependence. When I know that I have 20 bank accounts, and each one has the maximum that you can have, and still be, and the deposit is still federally insured, it becomes a big nisayon. And I know that the net value of my house is so many millions of dollars, and the net value of other holdings I have is so many million dollars, it becomes a very, very, very big nisayon to realize that that doesn't insure or guarantee anything. There's no such thing as anything which is totally insured, totally guaranteed. I don't care what it says on the guarantee from the bank. Banks fail also. There is no such thing. But we should be aware that if we shouldn't be looking for wealth, it has its nisyonos, very big nisyonos. If HaKadosh Baruch Hu sends it, then a person should use it for the mitzvahs that it allows a person to do. He should use it for that purpose, and should be aware of that it poses a big challenge Because once it's not someone in an IRA, once I can look at my bank statement and look at all those zeros, it becomes a much bigger nisayon to realize that I'm dependent upon HaKadosh Baruch Hu. I'm vulnerable. It's not this bank statement which is protecting me. And again, the practical nafkamin is in terms of the kriyasitim, not to let a business opportunity intrude upon my kriyasitim. In terms of that, there are limits on hishtadlos that kochi ve'otzem yad, you wouldn't recognize. Again, the Rechov Salvaros' story of assuming danger, and we gave one perhaps modern analog to that. There certainly can be others. And then finally, that hishtadlos means there has to be a natural base. You have to allow for that conduit. But you don't have to be able to cross every T and dot every I. You don't have to figure out if a person is cut out for chinuch, how he's going to manage every last expense. You don't have to figure that out if a person is going to Eretz Yisrael. Similarly, when it comes to maybe just to talk a little bit about this balance between bitachon and hishtadlus, specifically in the area of health. So there's no area in which the chiyuv hishtadlus is greater than it is in terms of health. Right? Yom Chal Shabbos, the Oraisa, for Safek Sakana. There's a realistic, not just statistical. One in a million is not a suffix, not a statistical suffix. No, there's a real possibility. The odds are very, very good in the person's favor, but there is a real possibility that no, this could be something that could jeopardize the person's life. Well, Michal Shabbos. As much as is necessary to take care of that person, the Gemara says that a person shouldn't, when confronted with a situation of pikuach nefesh, a person has to know what to do. We're not supposed to have to stop to ask shailas then, because every second is can be absolutely vital. But there too, a person recognizes that what we'll accomplish with all our hishtablus, as zealous as it has to be, and as zealous as it will be, a person has to recognize that Ribono Shalom is Rofei Chol Amo Yisrael, and that it doesn't, we absolutely look for the best doctors, and when necessary, a person is Machal Shabbos, but there too, we recognize that what our efforts will yield is Bidei Shamayim. Okay, I don't know if there are any questions.